Okay, and since you mentioned holding grievances, we can start off now by talking about, it might seem simple to say that. In fact, it does sound very simple. All you have to do is let go of your grievances. All right. When you try to practice that, it's the most difficult thing in the world. And I'm sure if you're students of the course, you have tried. And denial doesn't work. To say, you know, that, the course says I should forgive. So I forgive that person. It doesn't work. And you'll find out very soon that it doesn't work. Because you have to get all of the stuff out in terms of looking at it, you know. And to say that the course says, and that's why I should do it, the shoulds don't work either. None of that works. And that's why it's so difficult. And if you're not honest with yourself and really recognize the fact that sometimes it's very difficult to let go of a grievance. I mean, very, very, you can work on it and work on it, and there's still that feeling in your gut when that person's name is brought up or whatever, that it just twists and you know you can't do it. And that's okay. It's better to realize that you can't forgive that person now, and that you're working on it, or you're going to try, even if it takes 10 years or 15 years, then to say, I've forgiven that person, and you know damn well, some part of you knows that you haven't. That's very important. All right, we're very good at fooling ourselves, and what this course really requires is brutal honesty. And that's difficult, because we all like to make nice. You know, and we all want the boo-boo to go away, you know, and to feel better. If you want to feel better, don't do this course, because you're going to end up feeling worse. I'm serious.
How many people want to leave now?
The reason you're not going to feel better is because when you really get honest with yourself, you're going to realize how many grievances you hold against everybody and everything, including yourself. And you're going to see later on in the reading here that if you hold a grievance against someone else or you hold it against yourself, it's the same thing, and you're blocking yourself from your inheritance and from the kingdom. All right? And that's why this is difficult, because what we tend to do is we make believe, yes, I've forgiven that person. Or, yeah, I know I should. Yeah, the shoulds don't work. And all of that mental musing doesn't work. What works is when you really let go of the forgiveness. And you'll know when you really let go. And it's like a different frequency. If you think of an analogy that you could use, is what Jesus is really talking about in this course is that we would resonate at a total different frequency vibration, to use an analogy, right? And let's say that frequency vibration's up here, all right? And we're functioning down here, all right? Letting go of the grievances will get you here, all right? And then holding on or kicking another grievance up will drop you back down. And that's one way you can look at it, you know. And you can stay at this frequency vibration if you get caught up in the hatred and the unforgiveness. And it's very easy to do that. It's very simple, and it's very simple to rationalize and justify it. I speak from deep experience. So I'm not just saying that to scare anybody.
What's important about this as a paradigm is that since there's literally nothing and no one outside of us, if we're holding a grievance, it's because we put that grievance there. And the question then would come, well, then why would anyone want to function on a level where there's such anxiety, such tension, such anger, such hurt, when it clearly is depriving you of that experience of God's love and peace? So, like in Gore's analogy, that love is on top here, and then by holding on a grievance, we consistently knock ourselves down. That makes no sense from a logical point of view. Why would anybody want to be in a state of unhappiness or disquiet? And yet the honest fact is that most people, most of the time, function on that level of disquiet and anxiety. And the reason for it is that if one truly operates on that higher level, and one truly identifies with the love of God or the love of Jesus, then all of one's specialness is gone. All of one's individuality is gone. or one's ego is gone, which means that one's identity, as we have made it for ourselves, is gone. That's where the fear comes in. It's the fear of losing oneself, of losing one's self-importance, one's uniqueness, one's specialness. That's what leads people to run away from the love and the peace of God. That's why nobody in this world truly loves Jesus. Because if you truly loved him, you'd be one with him, which means that you would know this world was not your home. So to join with Jesus means to join with the thought system that undoes your own ego and your own specialness. To protect oneself, and protect is put in quotes, to protect oneself against the love of God, then holding grievances, being angry at people, is the perfect defense. Right? And that's the motivation that leads people to be angry, to be anxious, to feel unfairly treated, and to feel themselves victimized. To feel themselves as they're merciless, that they're at the mercy of forces and powers beyond their control. All right, so getting back to Tagore's point, then what's important, and one way of charting your progress in this course, is not to see how loving, forgiving, and peaceful you are, but rather to forgive yourself because you're not loving, forgiving, and peaceful. That the focus is always to really identify these thoughts of specialness and this identification with specialness and our attempt to make other people responsible for our own unhappiness. And then to look at those with Jesus or the Holy Spirit beside you. That's what forgiveness is. And so the brutal honesty Gori was referring to is the honesty which says that I don't have to be ashamed of how much I don't want God's love. And the more you can do that, then the less of investment you will have in it, the less power those thoughts will have. They will automatically fall away, and then what's left is that true inheritance that we all share. So the focus always then is really looking at the ego thought system, because you don't have to worry about God. You have to worry about the interferences that you place between yourself and him.
Are there any questions before you go on?
If you've forgiven someone, but you still don't want to be in that person's presence, is that still forgiveness?
I'd say that's a good clue.
Did you have anybody in mind, Pam?
That you really haven't forgiven, you know. And sometimes you do it in stages, or percentages if you're mathematically minded. So, you know, you might forgive 10% and then work on it, you know, and a year later another 15%. Or whatever, you know, or if you want to use an onion, you peel away, you know, and you have layers and layers of unforgiveness that you peel away. So I think if you're feeling any kind of discomfort, there's an indication that you really haven't forgiven.
That doesn't mean that you have to be in someone's presence necessarily, but if you feel an antipathy or a discomfort with that person, then that's a sign that there's still some unresolved guilt in yourself that you're projecting out onto the person. And so again, that's what you want to look at. Not that you want to stuff down those feelings and make believe you're a perfect Course in Miracles student and filled with thoughts of love and kindness, etc. It's much, much better as a student of the Course to be aware, as we've been saying, that you really do hold a grievance against this person, and that's all right. That doesn't make you a terrible person. It's not going to make you happy, but it doesn't make you a terrible person.
What I'm saying is understanding the principles, but yet I still blame. And the blame makes me not forgive.
Well, there's a whole section we're going to go into about blame that's in this section. So we'll get to that. But that's I think, everybody's experience. So that if you withdraw the blame from that person, then you bring it in within yourself, and then you start the self-blame syndrome. You know, and that's just as bad. You know, and it's very difficult.
I think it's helpful for anyone who works with the Course to understand that simply by being in this world, simply by being in this world, you're already saying that you're a terrible, awful, miserable sinner. Right? Because terrible, awful, miserable sinners are here. Right? They're not in heaven. Right? And so the very fact that you're here and believe that you're here is saying that you really are filled with these thoughts of murder, these thoughts of specialness, these thoughts of guilt, these thoughts of hatred. So that the loving thing for yourself is to be able to acknowledge that. That's what the role of Jesus and the Holy Spirit is. It's to help you look at that self-hatred in yourself to help you look at how you try to deny it in yourself, avoid responsibility for it, project it out, and to look at that with their love beside you. That's, again, what forgiveness is.
Along these same lines, what I have found helpful is to remind myself that when I'm in my ego, I will always be unforgiving because the ego never forgives. But the idea is not to feel guilty about that.
See, the trick comes, as I was saying, so you think that you've worked on this and you've forgiven this person and you really believe it, you know, only to find out when that name has been mentioned 8 months from now that you feel this twist in your gut. You know, and that's the clue, you know. So, you know, maybe you weren't able at that point to forgive the whole scenario, but you thought you did, you know. And then you do have that opportunity again. But that, I think the point to watch for is that we fool ourselves very well. You know, and we think we've forgiven, and we believe we've forgiven, and we've experienced it, and then, as I say, something happens and boom, and then you find out, no, you know, I really haven't done it. And that's okay. The thing then is not to self-blame, which we're going to get into, as I said, later on here. But because that is the tendency at that point then.
Another student who said she is fairly new to the course commented as follows. I try to become spiritual and practice forgiveness towards my coworkers who are very mean. I try to be loving, even though they're not loving, but it just doesn't seem to work.
Yes, but I think what I'm hearing you say, maybe I'm wrong, correct me, is that you're using forgiveness as it has been defined for 2,000 years of Christian theology and other systems. Is that correct? You're using forgiveness that way? You see, I asked you about the Christian theology and the whole concept of forgiveness that you're using because I got the feeling that that's what you're using. And the Course really says that you forgive your brother for what he has not done to you. All right. Now, if you're a new student, of course, you probably haven't gotten to that part of the text and you haven't got a clue as to what I'm talking about. So briefly, let me just fill in a couple of gaps, and this is probably going to be very overwhelming to you. But you'll see as you get along in the text that this will come up. You forgive your brother for what he hasn't done because we wrote the script, so to speak, to our existence. Okay. So therefore, if you put those people in your script who abuse you or take advantage of you, it's you that have done this, and we're going to get to that here too. So you don't. So that's why you forgive your brother for what he hasn't done. See what I mean? The old Christian way is I'm more spiritual than you. I'm loftier. I have more education. I'm more noble. You know, noblesse oblige, so I will oblige, you know, and forgive you. That is not what the Course is talking about. That's forgiveness to destroy. And Jesus labels that very clearly. So it's a different type of forgiveness, but when we get on into the section here, you'll see it. We'll give more examples.
One other point, just to make it even worse for you, is that you couldn't feel someone was abusing you or victimizing you if you didn't want to be abused and victimized. Right? That does not make you responsible for what they do, right? On this level. Right? It doesn't make you responsible for what they do, but it does make you responsible for your reactions to what they do. So where the honesty would come in is that there'd be a part of you that wants people to mistreat you at work. So you could then feel justified in feeling unfairly treated.
See, but that's totally unconscious. So there's another thing that as you're through this course, you have to, begin to appreciate that most of what goes on at an unconscious level. And you're not aware of it. You're not aware of your true motivations and why you're really thinking or doing things. And you begin to respect that dynamic within yourself as you practice the Course more and more. That the unconscious element that we're not in touch with, all of us.